Hey everybody, welcome to another great episode of the Rodcast. I'm Monty and I'm here joined today by none other than Pastor Rod. And we've been talking back and forth in the past few sessions we've been doing about cross-cultural communication. We first talked about having a passion, first of all, a desire for cross-cultural communication. Then we talked about having an intentionality of having cross-cultural communication. And so today I'd love to continue that conversation. So we've been looking at the story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman at the well, and we've seen Jesus start a conversation, and I think today would be a great place to kind of see what the conversation then evolves into and then what the outcome of that conversation is. So would you mind taking us through what this conversation looks like and how we can break it down and learn some lessons from it?
From the previous couple of times, we realized that Jesus went from Jerusalem to Samaria, a different country. They actually had the same language, or almost the same. But he meets a woman at a well at midday. He knows something is strange because that's a very unusual scene in the Middle East. And he knows that he's alone with her. And she says to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, speaks to me, a Samaritan? Because that doesn't happen." And I think we said that's not in the Old Testament anywhere. Like, there's no law. there's no law why we can't speak to anybody as long as we're wise and respectful. And so this is cross-cultural communication where Jesus then bridges in and he says, would you give me some water? And that's when she says that. Now, that's where we pick up the story, because she's almost picking a little fight with Jesus just because he's different than her. And I think this does happen with cross-cultural communication, but Jesus then launches into what we call good news. That's what I want to pick up right now, the good news in the story. "Hey, lady, I know you feel that way, but I've got something really good for you."
Fantastic. Go on. So yeah. Let's see what that story looks like. So what are the tips and tricks that Jesus used in this? Because they're having a conversation, yeah, and then all of a sudden it seems like there's a moment and everything starts to shift in this conversation. And I think that first part is where Jesus then starts telling her what we would call, like you said, the good news. So this story is in John chapter 4. And I think the moment is when he says, "If you knew the water that I have, you would ask me for a drink." And I feel like things begin to shift here. Can you elaborate on this moment? So
that's John 4 verse 10. And she's just, I don't know what she's thinking. I think she's a rejected person and she just wanted to like say something, but Jesus just disarms her. It just takes all the pressure out of this relationship by saying, "Hey, not going to talk about that. But I do want to talk about good news that you're here at the well. There is water here, but I've got some living water. Would you like to hear about that?" And it's like okay. Thank you so much. It's a shift. It's beautiful. Jesus, the beautiful cross-cultural person, just says, "Hey, water, but there's living water." And it's a bridge and it's a break and it's a shift away from a moment of clash. And I've experienced this many times with people from, well, all cultures in almost every country, where something is brought up and we have this temptation to take the bait, like argue, "Oh, you know, we Jews do love you Samaritans, blah, blah, blah." But he didn't do that. He said, "Hey, would you like some living water? Because that's what I could give you." And I think this is what we call having an eye for good news. It's a powerful thing. And we might think, well, I couldn't do that. That's a pretty high level thing. But the thing that we can all do is prepare ourselves to share good news. Yeah. And we do that a lot in Japan, don't we, Monty? We really ask people to consider, what did Jesus do for you and what can he do for other people, which is good news.
I love that. And I love the fact that what we're talking about, this conversation that Jesus and the Samaritan woman had, there's actual communication. They're not, it may have seemed at the beginning they were kind of talking past each other, but Jesus recognized the moment and he used something common, water. We're at the well. We're here to get some water. He uses something common. And then there was this amazing moment where he didn't get caught up in the fight or the history or like, "Actually, it's not in the Old Testament. Actually, that's not a law, lady." He said, "No, if you knew who I was and what I could give you, you would ask me for a drink." Yeah. And then it starts, like, she starts having some sort of revelation or starts thinking about the Messiah. And then I think Jesus didn't get sucked into the debate. And then he started talking to this woman and she starts getting a revelation. So in that revelation, yeah. Do you think it's like, is that just purely the Holy Spirit giving this woman a revelation, or was that because of Jesus's like amazing communication style? Like, what do you think is the balance here?
Well, I think that's where we have the human and Holy Spirit moment together, where we're talking to someone and saying, Lord, just help me to really communicate well, to love this person, to share something relevant, something that will touch their life, something emotional or spiritual or uplifting or even confronting at times, but Holy Spirit led. And I think we need to know this does happen. You know, Jesus said there's certain times you don't know what to say, but the Holy Spirit will give you words to say. I love that verse.
Yeah.
When the Holy Spirit comes on your life, there's just going to be times where you're talking to someone and a thought comes, and that thought is probably Holy Spirit, like ask them a question about their family or ask about their background. Or instead of getting into a disagreement, we're actually talking about an agreement or a interesting subject for that person. And I think God does give us that. I think the issue is then going to be courage to change the subject. I think that's the issue. I think we all have good ideas and we think, is that you, God? And I think we just listen and ask a simple question. And in this story, there are questions that Jesus asks. He asked one in a minute about her husband, which is like super revealing. And I think that, you know, people think the supernatural is so difficult, but it starts with a very simple question or observation, and it's just saying it. You know, like I'm here in another country right now. If I was in Japan, I guess it would be the same, but I'm always looking for that good news, for that bridge. And it doesn't have to be cheesy. It's not about being cheesy. It's about being honest and interested. It's probably a good word, interested in the person. Could ask about food or, in this case, drink or culture or customs or why or what. And all of a sudden, we're having a talk about deeper things, cultural things, heart things. And it's not that difficult if we just do it without being weird, you know?
Just
totally. A natural flow.
Yeah. It's funny because the other day, I was at the gym. I was working out, doing my thing. It was packed, absolutely packed. And I saw a guy, a foreign guy, that was in the gym. He's pretty big, and I hadn't seen him before in the gym. So I was doing my exercise, and he kind of came over, and he asked me very politely. He's like, oh, how many more sets do you have on this machine? And I was like, oh, sorry, I got like 3 more sets on this one. I was like, but do you want to hop in every other set when I'm taking a break? You can do a set, and when you're taking a break, I can do a set. He was like, yeah, I would love to. So he hopped in, and we started talking, and this guy's from Germany. And he lived in Australia for a bit of time, so we found some common ground, right? And then we started asking, you know, what's your name and where you're from, and then what do you do? So he asked me, what do I do? And I was like, you're never going to believe this, but I'm a pastor. And his face was like, what? In Japan? And you're Australian? I was like, this is crazy, man. This is crazy. That's what he kept saying. And so I asked him, what do you do? And he's like, I'm in the gambling business. So it was so funny. These two different people from the most opposite ends of the spectrum, we were actually able to develop a friendship.
Yeah.
And we weren't being weird and we weren't being over the top about it. And I was like, yeah, man, if you ever get the chance, you're more than welcome to come. You don't have to be a believer. You're more than welcome to come and check out church if you like. And I think that's what you're talking about. Just having that moment. It wasn't weird. It was natural.
Yeah.
But I felt like that was a Holy Spirit moment. And then he was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to Osaka, blah, blah, blah. I was like, all right, no worries. Finished my set, moved on. He moved on. And then at the end, when he finished, he came over to me and he was like, hey, it was great to meet you. And in my mind, I was like, yeah, great to meet you. You're going back to Germany. So I thought it was just the end, just a nice conversation. And he said, actually, can I get your Instagram? I'd actually like to connect. I want to come back to Japan in November, you know, God willing. And then he said, and if I come back, then I'd love to connect and maybe even check out your church. Right. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so it was very small. And this might seem like a small, insignificant story. But to me, I was like, wow, like this is great. There was maybe a Holy Spirit moment, even at the gym, even between people from different worlds.
Yeah,
we were still able to have cross-cultural communication. And so I love that. And I think that's kind of like woman and Jesus.
I think people are waiting for us, or us as in everybody, to ask a good question. I think we're scared, but people enjoy it when we're interested in their world. It could be about, you know, flower arrangement or whatever it is, sports, weather. And like you said, the sports equipment, which is not my area. But I ride my bike every day, and so I could talk to a bike rider and just stop and chat about, you know, what do you got there and what are you doing? Just interest. One of my favorite personal stories, I was on a flight back from London with our music director, Dan, and sat next to a Japanese lady who was very smart, a professor, had come back from Germany, was to London, to Japan. She was going back to Japan to live, and she was not happy.
All right.
And she said, I'm not really happy about going back to Japan. I wish I was born German. And it just gave me a little chance, a little window to say, you know what, I live in Japan and I think Japan's amazing. And she said, do you? She said, why? I said, well, and so it just went on about how great Japan was. And I said, you know what, I think you may not believe it, but I believe in God. And I think God made you Japanese for a purpose. And if you see that differently, it could change your life. And she starts crying, like literally weeping. And I didn't want to make her cry. But we talked for about 20 minutes. She didn't, you know, receive Jesus, but I was able to share, you know, purpose and life and God. And again, no end story there, but prayed for her many times because God put us next to each other on an airplane. And I'm not saying you have to speak to the person next to you on an airplane, but sometimes it does happen. And, you know, here on Sunday in where I am in this island, this young guy from a different faith just came up to me and said, you know, what you said was really good. I didn't really understand it all, but it was really good. And I said, yeah, you're a great young man. I could see that. And he said, thank you very much. And I said, would you come again? So very light conversation, but it was an interest. And I just think we've got all these different levels of conversations. Yeah. Jesus' story here ends in an incredible result where she gets to become a believer, and her whole village does. That's like the ultimate end game, right? We don't have all of those, but I do think the more that we are passionate and ready to initiate, we're going to have more and more good discussions with people. It's just going to open up friendships everywhere, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that. It's natural. What do we call it? Naturally supernatural.
Right.
And that's what Jesus did with the Samaritan woman. He said, if you knew the drink, she says, then give me that water. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and then Jesus steps into this
wow,
like amazing Holy Spirit moment. And he says, go and get your husband. And she's like, I don't have one. And then he has this like, yeah, you've had six husbands and the man you're with is not, or five husbands. I'm going to get my facts wrong. Five. And the sixth man you're with is not even your husband. And it was crazy. So is this what we call a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge?
I think I'd call it a word of knowledge, where God gives you a little tiny moment, or basically God whispers in your ear, ask this question. So it's not mind reading. I don't believe it's mind reading. We don't know people's lives, but God gives us a wind, a sniff, a sense. Why don't you ask this question? And so the question, he says, well, tell me about your family. I think that's a very normal question when we bring it back to that. And she says, actually, I haven't got a husband. Now, that's where he then goes in and says, actually, I know something about your relationship life. It's you're struggling, aren't you? And I think we need to hear Jesus' tone in his voice right now. It's not, you've had five husbands. It's not judgmental. I think we need to look into the whole cross-cultural concept is respect. And hey, you've had five husbands. The guy you're with right now is not your husband. I don't see judgment. I do see engagement. There's a difference, right? There's a, is engaging in her world, which is broken. She's obviously, and there are other tells why she has a broken life, coming to get water at midday in the heat of the Middle East by herself without any other woman. That does not happen.
So I think, so there was paying attention. Paying attention is a big part of having good communication. Same would be, you know, in a friendship or in a marriage, when you notice something has changed or something is different, sometimes it is good to just, hey, what about that? Are you doing okay? Is everything all right?
So just I think, like, you know, your example of the guy in the gym, it's, you're not ready yet, but there'll be a moment where you could actually say, you know, hey, can I say something about your life? You know, not now, but because you built friendship. And in this case, it's what we call a supernatural moment, where there can be an actual moving ahead of this relationship very fast. And that's what happened here. This sense of God knows you, God loves you. And again, here in this church here on Sunday, I was speaking to probably over 100 not yet believers. I don't want to call them unbelievers because they believe in something. They're not yet believers in Jesus. And as I was sharing, over 100 people there did not know Jesus. There was absolute interest. It was interest, because I'm telling them that this God of the universe loves everybody the same. Doesn't matter our religious background or whatever. It's the same. And people were, as again, afterwards, people spoke about that. Wow, so this is also for me. And just the being loving, truthful, and then speaking truth. People, it could happen fast, is my point. It could happen fast. And we know people have met people on the streets of Tokyo just sharing some good news. And someone's got a bit of a history with Jesus somewhere. One of our great young guys, Ryoya, came back from Alabama in America as a student. And our team met him on the streets. Just a great young guy, just a really nice young man. Spoke really good English, because he'd been in America and he'd been to church in America. This is very unusual. But there was like connection, 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 connection. And that young man came to church, heard the gospel in Japanese, became a believer, and now he's one of our great, great young Japanese leaders. So that was a meeting on the street. But we were also intentional. Maybe we could meet some people.
Absolutely. And that's why I love that every week we do outreach. We have teams, we have people on the street out there meeting people. And it's not like every single meeting is going to be like on the scale of this meeting between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. But every meeting is a moment. It's an opportunity for someone to be touched by Jesus, someone to have that maybe special connection. And sometimes they meet people over and over again, same place, same time. They meet them, they hang out. And yeah, it does develop more relationship with them. But I think this story is amazing, because the Samaritan woman is obviously blown away by the fact that Jesus knew this, or understood her, is probably more accurate to say it. He understood in that moment that, you know, she had been through a lot of hardship and a lot of heartbreak and, you know, ostracized from her own community. And this man, this Jewish man, 2 points to the cross culture, was now here and just here for her, like here to give her love, not condemnment, but love. That's great. And so I think it's funny, because the, you know, she's like, you must be the Messiah.
Yeah.
And this is the first time where he's like, I am. In this unsuspecting place. With this unsuspecting woman, Jesus is like, straight up, yes, I am him. And I think it's funny, because the disciples come back and they are shocked that Jesus is crossing cultures. They're the ones that are shocked. And then the woman, she goes off and tells the entire town. And she, you know, she kind of puffs Jesus up a bit more than what actually happened. But the excitement's there, right? The energy is there. And she comes back, and then later we see the whole town is impacted.
Yeah.
So I love this story.
Part of the story is the town meeting Jesus, but the other part of the story is the town meeting the woman. Now she's born again, or now she's shifted, is changed. She's a different person. And that, I think, is the greatest moment for us to share our faith and for young believers to share, because they haven't got all the words to say. And she does exaggerate a little by saying, "He told me everything I ever did." So we sort of laugh at that. But she's so moved and changed that she has the village's attention. And I just really want to encourage people to allow our newer believers to tell people without full knowledge of what's happening. Just the joy of the Lord is our strength, right? And I think there's something about in Japan, young Japanese saying to people, I don't know everything, but this wonderful thing happened. I feel forgiven and loved by Jesus. Mm. So I just want to encourage everyone to help the newer believers to share. Because I think there's a tendency to cloister them and say, you don't know enough. When you know enough, you can share your faith. I think that's a mistake. The New Testament is full of new people going out saying things like this lady, just, he's amazing. You need to meet him. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. There's a young guy in Tokyo. He got saved recently, baptized recently at our camp in March. And he's so passionate. He's so excited. And he doesn't know everything. But the next Sunday after that camp, he brought one of his childhood friends to church. And you could tell his childhood friend, you know, he was going through it. He was going through a rough time. And so he comes up to me and introduces his friend. And he's like, "Hey, Monty, this is my friend. I invited him to church. Can you give him some power? Can you, like, you know what I mean?" And in my heart, I'm like chuckling. I'm like, this is actually quite funny. But I got to talk with his friend. I got to pray for his friend. I don't know if his friend made any sort of decision, but I do believe it was a seed. But I love this guy because he's so passionate, and yet he doesn't, you know, as we would maybe understand, it doesn't quite understand everything. Yeah. That raw passion, that raw fire is something that I don't want to douse with my age of Christianness, or you know what I mean, my experience or Bible knowledge. I don't want to douse a young Christian's fire. And then obviously over time, I'm sure he'll learn. And we had Mother's Day recently in Japan, and he brought his mum to church for the first time.
Amazing.
The backstory is that I think he had quite a few conversations with his parents. His parents are not understanding, more so maybe his father, not so understanding of his decisions and why he would choose to believe in Jesus. But the fact that his mum came tells me that behind the scenes, there's a lot of conversations. There's a lot of communication. And the mum, to some degree, was like, "All right, let me come and see. Let me taste and see." Now, I don't know if she made any sort of decision or if she understood what was going on at all, but I just love the raw passion of this young guy, of this moment that you're talking about when their life has been changed. It's a radical moment, and they're just pumped. They just want to tell other people. Yeah, and that's what we see with this Samaritan woman.
Yeah,
but I think I wonder that, you know, like in this day full of arguing and debate, different camps, us versus them mentalities, I wonder if Jesus brought that sort of mentality to this Samaritan woman and said, "Oh, but you're just a Samaritan, but you're a woman who's had, you know, five husbands." Like, if he came with this condescending attitude, I don't think we would have seen any of these miracles happen.
No.
He masterfully, like, circumvented the pressure points, the chokeholds of, this could be an argument or this could be a disagreement. And he kind of just spoke to her heart.
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot we could learn from that. But would you say there's anything we can take away from watching Jesus's example here?
I think we take away everything. But, of course, the supernatural part is scary. So I just think we need to not diminish what he did. No. But realize we could grow in that. As I said, start with observation and questions. And I think we can take everything from Jesus, the concept of being led by the Holy Spirit to go somewhere and talk to someone, to engaging about something and then bridging into something deeper, talking about people's lives and how God, the good news, living water, God can give you living water. He can change your life. And then, you know, releasing this lady to go to a village, away you go, get your husband. And she comes back with the whole village. I just think we need to take it as a total encouragement. This could happen. And actually, if we're aware of this and pray for this potential opportunity, I think they're going to come. I do believe that a whole lot of this story says to me, tell the people to expect something and therefore look out for something. You know, as a pastor for now 40 years, a lot of people have told me a little story of someone at work or on the sports field, and there was an opportunity where that person said, what do you believe about God? Or and the person speaking to me said, do you think I should have said something?
Right.
Like, yeah, it was a setup. So I think what do we take away from it? We need to be not just aware but be courageous to take our chances. Someone says, I'm not well. We could say, well, I believe in prayer. Could I pray for you? That's just asking a God to help you. Or, you know what I mean? Like taking a chance, taking our opportunities to say something. I think people just need to be filled with the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, fill me with intentionality. I'm looking for my opportunity, and I pray it will happen in the next week or month. I'm ready. Help me to be strong at that time. And I think we're going to have a lot more testimonies. In fact, just this week, one of our great leaders said, a lot of ladies in her Connect group have been trained in leadership, and they're all saying things like, wow, I've never felt so passionate about talking to people or asking them to church. Something's happened in my life. So I think as we get stirred up, we just look for more opportunities. Now, some people are very introverted type of people, and I think there are some strategies for that, like friendship is definitely one. Another one is social media, to be able to say something and interact with someone. But I do believe all of us can do this with God's strength. And if all of us did, we would have revival right now.
Wow. Yeah. That's encouraging to hear that even people that have been maybe following Jesus for a while can catch fire again.
Yeah.
Like it's not just for the new believer or the newcomer, but it's for all of us. And I think a big part of the, let's say, the kindling for the fire to be caught is the intentionality that we've talked about previously. Is that if you have no desire or you're not looking for the moments, then obviously it's easy to miss the moments. But, you know, sometimes I'll be talking to someone and in my heart I'll be like, God, help me. God, give me the words to say. God, what should I say in this moment? I know one moment I was at the barber. You know, I get my hair cut by a barber, Japanese guy, really friendly guy, lovely guy. But, you know, he's not a believer, obviously. And sometimes, there was one time we got talking about his life and his family. He's married and has a little boy. And we got talking and he was saying how, like, he's had a really rough time and him and his wife just continually fighting and all this stuff. And he starts, I just asked some simple questions. I'm like, are you okay? Is your wife okay? Like, not super spiritual questions, but he started just, like, unpacking his life. And in this, I'm like, I'm in the barber store. And this guy's unpacking his life. God, give me words to say. And so I just started talking about, like, have you thought about telling your wife how you feel? Have you thought about saying, I love you and I forgive you and I want to do better? And so we just had this conversation and it gave me an opportunity at the end to actually pray for him. And so he accepted it. He accepted that prayer. And later that night, I went home and I messaged him again and just said, like, hey, just want to let you know that I am praying for you. And he's like, thank you so much. I feel like that's really helped me. You know, we're doing better tonight. And so the next few times I've been to the barber, every time if we talk about that, he knows he can open up about this issue. And, you know, I've invited him to church and some other guys get their hair cut by him. They've invited him to church. He hasn't come yet, but he's definitely been touched. We've definitely had some Holy Spirit moments with him.
Yeah.
And I think it's just great to see. But that's one thing that I like to do is when I feel like I need courage, or I'm a little bit out of my depth, then I'm just praying in my heart, God, help me. Give me the words to say. What do you want me to say? And it's not like this, like I received this revelation, but it was quite simple, quite natural, some of the words. But it's great. It's great to see people's lives impacted. And then ultimately, with this woman, the outcome was the entire village comes along. They meet Jesus. And I love how they, like, there's a point in the scripture where it talks about that they believed, and they said, it's not because you told us that we believed. It's because we met Jesus for ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's a really key moment, is that, yes, we can tell people about Jesus, but ultimately we need to be praying that they encounter Jesus for themselves.
Yeah.
So what do you think then would the follow-up be in this story, or in any of our stories? Like, what can we do once we've had, because Jesus, he moves on with his journey. So what happens next once people have an encounter?
They need another person to help them. They need the Bible and they need another person. Definitely those two things. Now, the Samaritans did have the first five books of the Old Testament. In fact, we have copies of it today from the Samaritan. It's amazing. They really kept. It's the same.
It's exactly the same.
It's the same. It's incredible. It's in a different script, but it's the same language. Wow. And so they did have something there to look at. Now, I'm not saying that made them believers, but they did have something. And then, another time, Jesus is passing by Samaria again, and James and John, two of his disciples, said, "Lord, they've rejected you, call down fire from heaven." And Jesus says, "You don't know what spirit you are talking about. Like, put that away, guys." But there is a follow-up story in Acts chapter 8, I think it is, where it says Samaria, after the death and resurrection of Jesus, maybe a year later, just a short time later, it says they heard that Samaria was open. They sent Philip. Samaria opens up, and they start churches there all over Samaria. It's a beautiful postscript to this story. Maybe it was a year later, but the whole area becomes a hotbed for what we then call Christians. At this point, no one was called a Christian before Jesus' death. But after, they're believers in Jesus. And there's this massive move of the Holy Spirit, a revival. It says there was great joy in that city. Which city? I think it's the same city, Shechem. And so within a year, there is follow-up, there's miracles, there's this, the whole of Samaria hears the gospel. In fact, it's one of the first places in the whole world after the resurrection to hear the gospel and have churches planted. Pretty great story, eh?
That's amazing. I love that. And that's like the disciples themselves, they weren't super keen on Samaria, but then it was one of the first places. And Jesus said that to the guys. He said, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So I love that they took that seriously.
And one of the guys that originally said, "Lord, call down fire," was the one chosen to go there with the revival in Acts chapter 8. So just a year later, he had his heart changed towards the Samaritans absolutely, completely, which is a Holy Spirit action. And he was one of the guys that went back. So instead of calling down fire of judgment, he's now calling down the fire of power of the Holy Spirit.
Let's go. I love it. It's so good. That's so good to see. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in him too. Yeah. And in all of us, that maybe historically or in the past, there was a people or a group or a something that we might not have had friendly thoughts towards, but God can still do a work in our hearts, just like he did in the Thunder Brothers. Like, God can do a work in our heart. And I think as long as we keep our hearts open to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and we are obedient to it, then we will see incredible miracles, incredible moves of the Spirit. And that's what we've seen here in Japan, to see, you know, you and my mom, you know, Pastor Viv, see you guys follow the call to an unknown land, an unknown region, to come here. Obviously, there was a bit of study preparation in advance, It was to come to a completely unreached, unknown people group. And we've been here for 22 years now, haven't we? And it's just been fantastic and incredible to see how many people's lives have changed.
Yeah.
I'm not saying like it's because like of you or like we get the credit. You guys followed the call. You guys followed what the Holy Spirit was saying. But because of that obedience and that faithfulness, yes, other people's lives, other cities and families, children, all the stuff has been impacted by simple cross-cultural communication.
And it goes on. We're just the beginning.
That's
and
I right. think
God would want to invite his whole church around the world to get involved in this. This is fun. It's not about confrontation.
Yeah.
It's about friendship and love and presenting good news.
Yeah.
And God's going to touch some of them. Not, I can't say all of them, but some of them. I'm just looking right now as we finish. Last Sunday, I was in an area where there was 100 people. I said that earlier. Mm-hmm. From a different religion, from a different faith, hearing about Jesus for the first time.
Yeah.
And 18 people made some decision, whatever that means. But then 2 days later, I just looking at the photo, we did a follow-up, and I can see at least 10 of them in a follow-up meeting on Tuesday night from Sunday night. So you're talking about follow-up. Like, if we can, let's do it. Let's create fun and friendship. I can see food here. I can see laughter. I can see community with people that don't yet know Jesus. And I just want to encourage everyone, God is moving in the earth. It's a time for us to have cross-cultural communication, whether you're in Australia or America or Japan or wherever. It's time.
Mm. Yeah, that's great. I just love to add one more thought to that, is that the follow-up happens within the local church. Like getting people connected to the local church and having a local church that is on mission, that is outward focused, because people could come through any nation, any city, any town in the world, and they could talk to people, see people respond in some way, but then those people move on, right? And then what happens with the people that were impacted and touched? So that's why I love having a great local church that is mission oriented and that has a place, a home where people can keep coming, where we can follow up and we can continue to see people's lives change, rather than just like a one and done, moving on. No. Yeah. It continues, right?
Yeah. And that you say, the power of a local church, which is God's plan for to create a team to reach our cities.
So any last tips or tricks or comments for someone that's thinking, I wanna step out, I wanna be more cross-cultural, whether that's in my own city or going to a different city or a different nation? Any final thoughts to wrap up?
I just think we need to say, God, help me. God, open my heart, change my mind, and give me opportunities. I think we need to engage God with us and pray for that. We could do that right now.
Fantastic. Well, if you could, would you like to pray for anyone that might be in that category and wanting to step out, and we'll wrap up for today?
Lord, I pray that we would know how exciting your world is and what you're doing. You're touching lives, awakening hearts, and I pray we'd be part of that. So you'd change our thinking about meeting people who are different faiths or different communities or different culture. Lord, we'd be ready to share good news, just share something good that you've done in our lives, just to be your agents on the earth, your representatives. And I pray, Lord, for opportunities this next week or month. Give us an opportunity to share good news with someone, and we're going to be ready when that opportunity comes. I pray that the churches would be engaging and flourishing in their cross-cultural outreaches and responses to all different sorts of people. It's going to be a great time in the earth, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you to everybody who decided to tune in today and listen to another great episode of The Rodcast. Make sure you keep on tuning in for more amazing content, and we'll see you all later.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And if you enjoyed today's episode with Pastor Rod, why don't you subscribe on whatever platform you are listening to this, and we'll see you next time.